It is good once again to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. I would like to say it is always good to travel, get on the road, and go and meet other Christians that you have never met before. But as I heard a young lady say on this weekend, there is no place like home. And she mentioned about some gold slippers. I don't have any gold slippers. But I know that there is no place like home. There are some faces that I haven't seen in a while, and it's good to see them. It's always good to have people to come and to hear God's word proclaimed. Maybe you're here and you're visiting. We would like to say, as Brother TJ has already said, you are our welcome guest. And we hope and pray that something may be said to cause you to think about how you're living your life. If it is according to God's will, continue to do so. But if you are found to be lacking, we're praying and hoping that you change before it is too late. As on last Sunday evening, I started talking about being a servant of God, that we all are fellow servants in the Lord, one with another, doing the things that God is pleased with. We can look around and we can tell stories, give illustrations about how one has served and how others have served and how we need to continue to be servants of the Lord, as Paul states here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 25. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle in all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps would grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. You know, as we talk about being a servant and being patient with people, that God may grant them that time, that He may continue to be long-suffering with them, that they may understand what they need to do, or we may understand what we need to do in order to be pleasing to God before it is too late. We all should be humble servants. Someone that God can be pleased with. Someone that God can say, "This is my servant in whom I am well pleased." And as we look at that and think about it, we went and we talked about understanding humility. And the biggest thing that we look at when we talk about this is that we need to understand our behavior. And we need to conduct ourselves and have the right attitude, have the right spirit about things that come about in our lives, and not to be arrogant or proudful. These things are important. We look at these different words that talks about being humble, and we come and we look at talking about being lowly, a low degree, low estate, humble, cast down, base, low degree and humble. We covered all those things as we did just now without, you know, going into great detail, not even going back and reading these scriptures. But I encourage you to write them down, and if you need them later, I'd be glad to give them to you. The English word, and we look at some synonyms and antonyms dealing with humility and being humble. The synonym is lowly, abased, cast down, unassuring, unpretentious, unassertive, and meek. Just the opposite. One that is arrogant, proud, defiant, lofty, haughty, overbearing, and snobbish. You have met and you will continue to meet people in both categories. Some you may not know them from one day to the next. You say, "That's not the same person I talked to yesterday. Look at them now. Look at their attitude." We can all change. But when we change for the worse, we need to think about it and go back and change for the better. Number seven. An example of humility. Our greatest example we found as we looked at and we talked about was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself was meek and lowly in heart. And we must be the same. We must conduct ourselves in a way that God would be pleased with. We must conduct ourselves in a manner that, you know, when people look at us, they say, that's a child of God. He's doing what God wants him to do. He's acting the way God wants him to be. Doing all these things, you know, as we looked at it, we talked about the Lord extend his invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, we want that. He's not overbearing. He's not saying, you better come to me and you better come to me now. He's not saying that. You know, we meet people that need the Lord in their life, that need to have their sins washed away, coming in contact with that blood, and we go to them and we say, hey, is this today? Is this the day that you're going to put Jesus Christ on through the water of great baptism? We want to encourage them. We don't catch them by the arm and drag them up here and put them in this water and take them down and they come up fussing and fighting. It don't do them any good because they're not going to make that confession that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So Jesus is asking, as we ask, come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Then we go back and we look at, and we're going to start here on this morning, back in the book of Philippians, and once again, looking at our Lord and our Savior. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Here is our Savior. Humility. Here is our Savior. One that was with God. The Bible tells us he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But within saying that and thinking about it, as he talks about having the same mind, he came to this earth to be crucified. He came to this earth because this is what the Father wanted him to do. He came to be a servant, one to serve. As we know and understand, he is our God. He is our God. What did he do? He became man, the form of a servant, obedient to the cross. Father, not my will, but your will be done. He goes to the cross. He's crucified. He's buried. He's raised up on the third day. He ascends into heaven. He's exalted. His name above any name. No man here can do what Jesus Christ did. Our life has been, and some still are, filled with sin. Yes, Jesus had no sin. A great servant. A great Lord. Our Master. The one who we need to look to. Our great example of how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. And we talk about him washing the disciples' feet. Peter, being Peter. No, Lord, no, not my feet. I should be washing yours. Peter, I don't wash your feet. You have no part in this with me. What did Peter say? Lord, not just my feet, but wash my head as well. Everything. See, all we have to do is look at how we're supposed to serve and then begin to serve. Even when he went to do the feet, Jesus took and put on himself the clothes of the servant. He wrapped himself with that type of garment. See, we always want to look good. We don't want anybody to think of us, you know, as someone that, you know, has nothing, or someone that's just lazy, or this, that, and the other, or even looking a quite, you know, a small resemblance of a servant. We need to start thinking about our Lord and looking at what he did. Looking at what he did. You can go, and I'm just going through this quickly because we got a lot to cover. We talked about these same things on last Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Are you a servant? Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to put others before yourself? The Scriptures demand us to be humble. And we need to be. We need to be. In the book of Micah chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible teaches us that the Lord requires us to be humble. To walk humbly with God. I'm no better than anybody else. Lord, I'm walking with You. I want You to direct my path. I want You to lead me, Lord, the way in which You will have me to go. We don't go in. We don't fuss at Him. We don't fight with Him. We don't say, Lord, I don't want to go down that road. You go down the road the Lord wants you to go down. And we've been down many of them. Sometimes when you get to the end of that road, you find that it's a dead end. What do? You turn around. And you begin to continue to walk with the Lord. And when you go down this other road, you find that there's going to be some obstacles. What do? Lord, remove these obstacles out of my way. No. Lord, give me the strength to get over these obstacles, to get through these obstacles. See, we need to be humble. And we need to walk with the Lord. In the book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 4. In the book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 4. This is important that we realize how we must become or who we must become in order to be pleasing unto God. You start with verse 1 actually here. In the book of Matthew chapter 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called little children unto Him and set Him in the midst of them. A little child unto Him and set Him in the midst of them. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. See, you know what we need sometimes? We need someone to bring us. We need someone to set us down. We need someone to talk to us. And when they do that, we need to be ready to receive what they have to offer. Many people are not like that. Many people don't want to be as this little child was here. They always want to be, you know, I'm in charge. I'm going to do this and you're going to listen to me. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So who is the greatest? There's no one here above anybody else. We're all on equal playing field and we all are trying to get to heaven because that's where God wants us. He wants us in the end at that great day to be told, enter in my good and faithful servant. So we need to become His little children. We need to be able to learn. We need to be able to respect who God is. We need to be able to humble ourselves and not try to exalt ourselves above anybody else. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. See, many times we forget who we are because we want to be somebody else. God does not want us to be anybody else. He wants us to be His children. He wants us to put Him first. He wants us to remember what His Word tells us. And it says here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You can't do no more than you can do. It's your reasonable service. This is what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it. And He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, or what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's nothing wrong with what God tells us to do, but we need to be able to accept it and we need to be able to do it. And He says in verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I'd be the first to admit there are some things I can't do. I'd be the first to admit there are some things I don't know. There are some people here that are so much smarter than I am, but I understand that I should not try to exalt myself above anybody else. because God is displeased with that. Your reasonable service, what you're able to do, you do those things. So don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. See, we're just a nobody. Jesus Christ was everybody. He's the one that was able to go to the cross that was without any sin. But we ourselves, we have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God. So don't ever look at anybody in a snobbish attitude and say, I'm better than you. Because that person can be looking at you and picking something out of your life and saying the same thing. So who are we? We're mere servants. That's all. Verse 16. He says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of lower estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. How important is it to have a relationship with someone else? When you always, want to say, hey, I cannot do you. I can do this. I can do that. Sometimes you make that other person feel like, I'm just nobody. I can't do anything right. But instead of being like that, say, we're of the same mind. And what I wanted you to understand is you do such a wonderful job in that. Keep on doing what you're doing. Serve somebody instead of being served. We all like to be served, don't we? But let's start serving. Let's see how the other person is going to react to what we do to them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Now that we are of Christ, now that we understand what God wants us to do, who God wants us to be, we look at these Christian virtues in which we are supposed to put on in order to be pleasing unto Him. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. He said, put these things on. That means when you were outside of Christ, you didn't have these things in your life. They didn't mean anything. But now that you are a Christian, he said, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. It is time, my brethren, to understand who God wants us to be and act the way that God would have us to act. Humbleness of mind. No one, I'm going to keep stressing this throughout this message here, no one here is better than anybody else. I don't care how much money you have in the bank, I don't care how big a house you have, you are no better than the next man. On the day of judgment, you're going to stand as well. And you're going to have to give an account of what you have done. If you did not put on the bowels of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, you will not get in. Let's understand that. So put on humility. Put on humility. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. Start with verse 1. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Now, as being a Christian, there are certain things we should not say. But there are many a days in which we speak before we pray. We say things, we act in ways because of what the world is doing. We just don't have any respect for anybody. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to the rulers. How many times have you heard someone say something bad about the government, about the city officials? How many times have you said something, heard someone say something bad about them? When we should tell them when they say something bad, well, why don't you take the time to pray for them? Not put yourself in their shoes because they have, a lot of things on their mind and they have a lot of responsibility, but take time to pray for them. This is what we need to do. The Bible tells us we need to obey the magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, when they tell us or they put some law out there to say that you can do this and we know it's against God's rules and regulations, we don't do those things. But when it's something right, we need to go forth and we need to do those things. Take time to pray. Take time to pray, showing all humility toward all men. Don't talk bad about them. Pray good things about them. And you know, if we would, you know, I could have reversed this whole thing and just started out with James chapter 4. When James is talking to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. And he says in James chapter 4, verse 6, James chapter 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. When we put God first, we don't have to worry about talking bad about anybody. We don't have to worry about trying to exalt ourselves above anybody. We don't have to worry about, you know, Lord, which way am I going to go? Because we have put him first. We're going to go his way. And we're going to talk to people the way Christ talked to people, the way the apostles talked to people. That's what's going to happen. We're going to serve as Jesus Christ served. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Give it a try. Don't think that you're better than anybody else. Don't think that you deserve more than anybody else. You're going to get your required payment. You're going to get what God has in store for you, and whether, you know, you've done something bad or whether you've done something good, you're going to get what God has in store for you. And we already know what type of reward he has for the unjust. But what about the just? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For again, he says, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Peter said the same thing James said, isn't he? God has nothing to do with the proud, but to the humble, oh, he's going to lift them up. Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Oh, saying every dog has his day. You do what you're supposed to do and watch the reward that God has for you. Watch the blessings that God has for you. Yes, it rains on the just as well as the unjust, but spiritual blessings belong to the humble. To those that are willing to submit themselves unto God, for to those that are willing to submit themselves unto the elder, to those that are willing to submit themselves one to another. God has a reward for you. He has those spiritual blessings for you. You can accept them if you would do what you're supposed to do. And then we look at the effect of humility. The effect of humility. Romans chapter 12, verse 16 again. How do we deal with someone? How do we deal with someone that we think is less than we are? I have to say think. Because I listened to different people talk about, they saw this man out on the corner and they were trying to help the man, and the man was saying, no, I don't need any help. And they continued to try to help him and say, no, I don't need any help. And then all of a sudden he pulls out and sticks his hand in his pocket and he pulls out this wad. He said, I told you I don't need any help. See, a lot of times we look at people and we put them into a category where we need to look at them and put them in a position of being somebody that we're not. There may be servants of God, and we need to continue to treat them as servants of God. So we treat people the way we want to be treated. Once again, Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men all of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't think that you're somebody when you're really nobody. So how do we deal with people? How do we treat people? We treat people, again, the way we want to be treated. How do we teach people? You know, oh, I know so much more than you. You're nobody. Oh, you mean to tell me you don't know that? Now, I had people tell me, you know, I don't know the scriptures. And my thing to them, if I don't know it, come and teach it to me. No one here has told me that. Someone on the outside. You know, that's the way people are. They always say, you know, you don't know something, but they don't ever want to take the time to teach it to you. See, we should not be like that. Even when men ask us for a Bible study, you know, we should be willing to administer that Bible study to them, not thinking that we know so much, but as we open up the Scriptures, because we all learn when we open up this book. And we teach them. And we let them read for themselves what God has in store for them. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Take all the time with them. Who knows when they're going to obey the gospel? There's a time to leave them alone, but there's a time when we're sitting down with them that we don't get upset with them, we don't start yelling at them, we don't slam our Bibles closed and say and start calling them names, but we sit there and we teach them in meekness that they may know that we care for their souls. And then, you know, this is a good one. You know, I've seen men dealing with some brother, and that brother may be wrong on an issue, and before you know it, instead of just one talking to that brother, you got about 10 people around him, and they're beating him up. They're not being meek with him. They're not being gentle with him. And when they get a hold to him, they turn him every which way but loose, and then when he gets turned loose, he goes out there into the world, and he just turns his back on God because of what the brethren have done. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, finally be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Be courteous. You know, if you deal with everybody the same way, you're not treating somebody right. But when it comes down time to loving, if you're not being tenderhearted with them, if you're not being compassionate with them, then you're not treating anybody right. Jesus, of all, he had every opportunity and he had every right to be mean to everyone he came in contact with that rejected him. But he didn't. He showed compassion upon those people. When he was on the cross, what did he say? Father, you know, destroy them all because they have crucified your only son. It's not what he said, is it? He was dealing with people, and as he prayed to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. See, we need to start forgiving. We need to have compassion. We need to understand that that man may not really understand what he's doing or understood, you know, why he was doing it. But have compassion. Allow yourself to talk to him. Show him the love that God has demonstrated toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's have compassion. Let's have compassion. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, once again, in teaching. See, we have to keep going back to the teaching thing, because many times we meet more non-members and sit down and talk to them than we do members. So in teaching, have patience. Have a concern. Show some type of interest in some of the things that they're interested in. But I'm not telling you to forget about teaching them God's word. But when you deal with them, make sure you deal with them in a patient manner, because you don't want to run them away. You don't want it to be something you said or something you done to cause someone to lose their soul. Now, it's going to be up on them, but you're going to have to get an account as well when you run them off. So let's be patient with them. Let's be patient with them. Then once again, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Who are we? Who are we? We're nobody. What does God want us to be? He wants us to be his children. He wants us to be humble servants. So once again, don't think that you're somebody. Don't think that you can't fall, because we all fall. But when we fall, we have to understand that somebody needs to be there to help us up. And somebody will be there. God will make sure that someone is there to pick you up. All we have to do is pay attention to them. But don't think that you can't fall. The oldest Christian in here to the youngest Christian, we all and everyone in between can fall. And when we fall, we have to know who we need to look to and where we need to look in order to get back up on our feet. So we need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. and he shall lift you up. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. And you understand that God desires you to be one. You understand that there's no better thing to be than a Christian. And you understand that without being a Christian, there's no way that you're going to get into heaven in the end. So why not come forth and make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away, coming in contact with the blood of the Lamb, and be added to the Lord's church on this day. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian, but you have strayed away. You have been living the way God wants you to live. Today is that day that you turn away from sin and you turn back to Christ. If you're here and you're subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.